chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to, the next couple of Wednesdays, possibly a few Wednesdays, be talking out of, preaching out of 1 Corinthians 15. Last week we talked a little bit about our resurrection bodies, and I want to just kind of do an overview of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15. I was sitting at my desk one day last week, and I had a thought about the book of Corinthians. I was just thinking about how that, you know, the church at Corinth had a lot of problems, had a lot of situations. And I thought about this. I thought about how that God uses adversity to bring opportunity. And what I was thinking about was, could you imagine not having 1 Corinthians chapter 11? I don't know that there's any place in the Bible that really recounts the Lord's table the way Paul does when he was writing the church at Corinth. And then I thought about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the spiritual gifts. Now, these believers were struggling in these areas, and the Apostle Paul wrote them this letter and said, listen, I want to kind of help you get on track and kind of straighten some things out. And, of course, they were struggling at the Lord's table. They were being very flippant about the Lord's table, and Paul said, no. He said, this is a very serious matter. And so he kind of laid out some things that's just very, very helpful about reverence and the observance of the Lord's table in the local church in this dispensation of time, the church dispensation. Chapter 12 on the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Aren't you glad for that? Helps us. Now, I realize Romans and Ephesians and there's other passages of Scripture, but none greater than 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as far as the detail of the spiritual gifts and how they're to be used within the assembly, the church. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, you think about that, and I was thinking about what would it be like without 1 Corinthians 13? And I'm entitled to an opinion here. This is my opinion. I don't know that there is a better treatise, a better short writing of any sort, whether it be what you would consider religious, spiritual, or secular, on love than 1 Corinthians 13. Whether you're saved, lost, whether you're spiritual, secular, I just don't know that you're going to find anything that really lays out what true charity is like 1 Corinthians 13. Then you come to chapter 14, and it deals with prophecy, and it deals with some error when it comes to tongues and things of that sort. And then you come to chapter 15. And, this is where we have what's called a full mention of God wanting us to know some things about the resurrection. And as I was having these thoughts, and don't lose me here, okay? Some of you are going to lose me here, and I don't want you to. I'm not saying that as Christians we shouldn't celebrate Easter. Now, if you don't, that's go for it. I celebrate every day's resurrection day to me. What I am going to say is if we're not careful, the world wants to get religious, and the world will celebrate these religious days as a one-time thing, you know, like Christmas. We just make a big deal out of this one time of year, and then every other time we just forget and set aside the fact that God sent His Son into the world. Well, not as believers. That's something that we should always be mindful of and celebrating. Amen. And it's the same with Easter, right? It's the same with Easter, and it's the same with a lot of things. You know, I read something that a man said. He said, you know, the world gives you Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. He said, but these are things that we ought to be celebrating every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. I mean, it really is. Every Friday is a Good Friday. If you're saved, say amen. And we could even have a conversation about that, but we won't. So if I still have you, and I hope that I do, I want to ask some questions that the Apostle Paul asked. And I think they're legitimate questions, or else he would not have asked them. Now, you have to get a little bit of a background as to what's going on here, so I'm going to give it to you. What is happening here is the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that has gotten off course. Now, listen, a Christian can get off course. As a matter of fact, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 that a Christian could get to the place where he could forget he was once purged from his old sins. Now, it can happen, brother. Amen. It can happen. And so this church had gotten a little sideways, and the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, and he said, listen, I want to help get you straightened out because you're going to answer to God one day. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, he said, you're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to be tried, so as by fire. And he said, the fire is going to try every man's work of what sort it is. And he said, if your work is gold and silver and precious stone, that fire is going to perfect your work. But now if it's wood, hay, and stubble, your works are going to burn up. And you're going to suffer loss in your reward, not in your soul, in your reward. And so he's writing to set some things straight. And he comes to this thing about the resurrection. And if you'll look at verse number 12, and we're just going to do a little study, so stay with me, okay? Stay with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church, makes a statement. He said, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say, and I want you to get this next word, some, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And so he said, you know, he said, I came and I preached, and we're going to look at this in just a moment. He said, I come and I preached the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's how he opened up this 15th chapter. And he said, that's how you got saved. He told the people in Rome the same thing in Romans chapter number 9. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? And so he preached the same message. That's the gospel message. And he preached it. And brother, that's the way you get saved. By believing the gospel. You can't get saved any other way. You must accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to have your sin forgiven, to be saved, and to have a place reserved for you in heaven. There's no other way. And so he said, now, I preached it among you, so I know it was preached. And in verse number 12, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, what are some of you running around saying there is no resurrection from the dead? Now, I want you to notice very carefully, he didn't say that Christ didn't raise from the dead. He didn't say, what is it with some of you running around saying that Christ has not risen from the dead? He says, how say some among you, look again, that there is no resurrection of the dead. And so what it appears here is they're saying, well, you know, even if Jesus did raise from the dead, he's God in flesh, we're not. And so that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to rise from the dead. And so here's a question that we're going to answer tonight. Here's a question that we're going to answer. Are the dead raised? Now, I'm going to tell you what, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. If you don't, we don't have to break fellowship. He said in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27, he said, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is an afterlife. And he, look in verse number 19, and I quote this scripture often because I believe it. I believe all the Bible, but this scripture is becoming more and more real to me. If in this life, look at verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this were all there were to life, brethren, oh my goodness. The Apostle Paul said, and he's just finished up a summary beginning in verse number 12, right down through verse number 19. He keeps using this word if. Look at verse number 13, but if. You see that? Look at verse 14, but if. Look, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 15, if so be the dead rise not. Look at verse 16, for if the dead rise not. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised. Verse 19, if in this life only, if. He's saying, look, if this is all there is, we're pitiful. And when you look at the word miserable, that's what it means, pitiful. This is pitiful. And I'm glad that he followed that up in verse number 19 or verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. And so we don't have to live with that big if hanging over our head. And so I want to answer tonight, as Paul answered this church in Corinth in the very beginning, he said, are the dead raised? Now, I believe that you believe that the dead is raised. But I'm going to tell you what will happen in time. In time, you're going to get battered on the resurrection. There's going to be the devils of hell. There's going to be the doubt and disbelief of the world. There's going to be a society that mocks. As a matter of fact, Corinth is about 50 miles from Athens. And when Paul, well, let's just turn there. Acts 17, would you turn there? And when Paul was in Athens, he was preaching the resurrection. Now, one of the things that made the early church so powerful was, the Bible says, and with power the apostles preached the resurrection from the dead. I mean, they did it with authority. No doubt, no questions, no shame. They preached with power the resurrection of the dead. And I pray that God would help me and God would help you. God would help his people in this day in which we live, where there's so much uncertainty, that we would preach, we would present, we would proclaim with power the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the answer, brethren. It's the answer. It is the answer. You cannot have the gospel without the resurrection. In Acts 17, look if you would in verse number 32. In Acts 17, in verse number 32, Paul was there in Athens and he was preaching. And now, you know a little something about Greek culture. Our history gives us a little bit about Greek culture and the mindset of people in that day from that location. And here they are, and they are laughing at Paul. I mean, they are laughing him to scorn, because here's this guy who's saying that you can die and come back to life. And they are just laughing because they operate on intelligence only, and they have zero spiritual insight. They are dead in the trespasses and sin, and they think their human reasoning is better than spiritual enlightenment. I'm here to tell you it's not. Never has been. Now, I know the kind of society and world we live in, where everything is really decided by what's written on a piece of paper. I'm concerned about what's written in this book, first and foremost. And so when you look at Acts 17, look at verse number 32, these folks who were from this mindset, the Bible says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, now Paul was preaching it, all right? And when they heard it, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. But some mocked. They laughed him to scorn. They said, this guy, you've got to be kidding me. You're trying to tell me that a man can die and then come back to life? Now, I done a little research on, and I'm not going to get too deep into it because it really doesn't matter, but I do want to tell you this. These folks in this era, and there's folks who still today believe this, they believe in the afterlife, but they believe that our bodies, and the Grecians were very, very strong on this point. They believe that our body was a prison, and that your spirit was locked in this prison. And that the only way you could really be free is when you died and your spirit went out, and that you never got, you just kind of floated out in the cosmos and you became one with the cosmos and the world and the universe, whatever, you know, is out there. And so that they did believe that. But when they heard, the Apostle Paul said, no, that's not the way it is at all. And he laid out the resurrection from the dead and the plan of God, the forgiveness of sin and the plan of God for the ages. They said, oh, no. Now, some, the scripture says, Others said, we'll hear thee again on this matter. We're not sure about this. That's very interesting. You see what's happening here. Now, that was in Athens. It's about 50 miles from Corinth. And so this influence, after Paul in chapter 18, which is immediately following here in chapter number 17, he goes into Corinth, and you know how that he preaches, and folks got saved, and he planted a church there. And some of this influence of mocking life after death and forgiveness of sin and resurrection bodies and heaven and hell and these things that Paul was preaching, it began to influence people in the church. Now, we see it in our day, don't we? Don't we? We see it in our day where the world is starting to affect and influence and impact the church. It's supposed to be the other way around, brother. Amen. It's supposed to be the other way around. We are to be impacting and influencing the culture, society, not them, us. We have the truth of the Word of God. So the first question we're going to answer is, are the dead raised? You write that down. Now, number two, the second question. Now, we're not going to answer these, just the first one tonight. The second question is, when are the dead raised? When is it going to happen? Well, I want you to look in 1 Corinthians, if you'll go back there in verse chapter 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. The Apostle Paul said, I'm going to tell you when this is going to happen. You say, you know when this is going to happen? I do. Some of it's already happened. You say, it has, yeah. Mm-hmm. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here in verse number 20, and then we'll go to verse 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead, watch this now, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, what happened when Christ was crucified? Graves were open. Did you know that? Now, I'm not going to go into it tonight, but we will when we get to this. Graves were open, and they were folks that came out of the grave, and the Old Testament saints, and some of the Old Testament saints, and they were walking in the streets of Jerusalem. The Scripture says that. So Christ, it didn't say Christ the first fruit, it said Christ the first fruits. Look at it again in verse number 20. It said, in verse number 20, Christ become the first fruits. Now, if there's the first fruits, guess what? There's more to follow. You know, out of Leviticus, when the priest would wave the sheaf before the Lord, right, of the harvest, and that would say, you know, the Lord, this is yours. But guess what? Everything that follows is yours too. And so Christ the first fruits. Now, look at verse 23. But every man, now we're answering this question. I'm not going to in detail, but I'm answering this question, and we'll see detail when we get into this particular question. And the question is, when are the dead raised? Look at verse 23. But every man in his own order. I like that word. It is a military word. It is a word that means by rank or in order. And it means this. It means that there's Christ and the first fruits. And then, look at it. Christ the first fruits, verse 23. Afterward, they that are Christ that is coming. Now, I think you and I have a very good handle on when that's going to be, right? At the rapture of the church. Yes. And then it says this in verse number 24, then cometh the end, resurrection. Now, the Bible speaks of two resurrections, all right? Now, I believe there's actually some, there's going to be some difference in that, and when we get to that, we'll discuss it. But now, you want to be a part of the first resurrection. Amen. That's right. And so, when is this going to happen? Well, God has it planned out. God has it. He resurrected Jesus. He's the first fruits. And then he's going to resurrect those that are Christ that is coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that right? Is that what the Scripture says? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then the end. And of course, this is when in Revelation chapter 20, when it talks about John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And of course, this is talking about when those that without Christ are going to be raised to stand before the great white throne judgment, and it's not going to be a good day. That's not going to be a happy judgment at all. Because people that stand at that judgment are going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what Scripture teaches. And so that's the question, when are the dead raised? And we'll talk about that. When? What does all that look like? Then the third question is, why are the dead raised? Why are the dead raised? Well, so corruptible can put on incorruption. Is that what he said? And so the mortal can put on immortality, so that we can get a spiritual body, not a spirit body. We talked about that some last week, right? Now we have a natural body. Flesh and blood shall not, look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 50. Well, let's go back to verse 49. For as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Right now, we have an earthly body. We're fit for heaven. We're not fit we're fit for earth. We're not fit for heaven. And so in order to get to heaven, and we are going there if you're saved, amen? That's something to be excited about. You know, we're going to heaven, but we're going to have to change the images. Look again at verse 49. Right now, we're born with the image of the earthy. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And so we've got to get a new body. Why? Look at verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. There it is. And so we're going to have to, why are the dead raised? God has reasons. God has reasons. You know, I want you to look with me just for a moment in verse number 30. I just want you to understand something. If I do not believe in the resurrection, it directly affects the way I live now. And Paul said that's the problem. That's what he said. He said it's the problem. If you do not believe that you're going to stand before God one day in the resurrection, it will directly affect the way you live today. Look, if you would, in verse number 30. He said this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Paul said, what am I doing putting my life on the line every hour if there's no resurrection of the dead? Right? Man, this guy's been stoned and drug outside the city. He's been whipped. 40 stripes save one. He has gone through hell on earth. And so did the martyrs, and so did the apostles and disciples and the early church fathers. Why in the world would folks put their life on the line every hour, he said, every hour in jeopardy if this was all there was? Look at verse number 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I die daily. He said, I put my life on the line daily. You see that? Verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. That's the mindset. And so the Apostle Paul said, no. He said, the dead are raised because there's a resurrection of the dead, because man is going to give an account to God. Plus, it helps govern our lives. Every man that hath this hope, 1 John 3:3, in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so please don't think that the resurrection is something that's way out there and it's only going to affect you and I when it happens. No, it's affecting me right now today. And it's affecting you too. A lot of times we're conscious of it, sometimes we may not be. But when we believe the Bible, when we believe what thus saith the Scriptures, when we believe God, brethren, it makes a difference in how we live. So the first question, are the dead raised? The second question, when are the dead raised? The third question, why are the dead raised? And there is a reason. Because every man shall give account of himself to God. And then finally, how are the dead raised? And we talked a little bit about that, about the seed and the outcome, and we'll talk more about that in the time to come. Now, I want to concentrate. I want you to go back to the first part, and this is where I'll give you a few thoughts, and I'll be done tonight. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, he starts out and he says, I preach the gospel to you. And he said, the gospel's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, there's some things that happen when I preach that to you. And he talks about the power of the gospel. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He said, I want to use this as like exhibit A. Are you listening? He said, I declare. He said, I want to bring up, I want to declare, I want to draw your attention to the gospel which I preached unto you. That's what he's saying. He said, remember when I came into town and I preached the gospel to you. He said, you remember that? I declare unto you the gospel which I preach, past tense, unto you, which also you received. Remember? Remember how you were living? I'm not going to turn to scripture. My time is fleeing. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, as such were some of you. And he names all kinds of sin. He said, but now you're washed. And so he said, remember the state of your life? Remember what you were involved in? Remember that sin that you were involved in? That bondage? The guilt that you were under when I came into town and I preached the gospel to you? And he said, I call you to record. I lay out this exhibit. The power of the resurrected Christ is what changed your life. That's what he's telling them. He said, here's the proof. The proof of the gospel is in the power of a changed life. I have to do it. I said I wasn't going to do it, and I'm going to do it. I've got to show you here. Go back, if you would, to chapter 6. Brethren, this list, you're talking about a rogue crowd now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look, if you would, in verse number 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, he said this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is a word closely associated with homosexual sodomy, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Look at verse number 11. And such were some of you. Now that's, you're talking about a rogue crowd now. But you know, the truth of the matter is, we probably could go down that list and touch about every one of us in some way or another. But I'm glad that we can also, we won't just read 9 and 10 when we're talking about us. I'm glad that we get over in verse number 11, aren't you? But such were some of you. He said, but now, I like this. He said, but such were some of you, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. He said, I came into town, go back to chapter 15 now. He said, I came into town, I preached the gospel unto you in verse number 1. And he said, you received it, and watch this now. And he said, wherein you stand. He said, I tell you right now, when Jesus makes a difference, he makes a permanent difference. Amen. He said, you're standing there even as I write you this letter. You're standing in that power. The power of the resurrected Christ is what changes lives. And brethren, that doesn't wear off. The power of God doesn't wear off. It's eternal. When you get saved, brother, God changes your life forever. God changed our life forever, brethren. Praise the Lord. And so he said, I came into town, I preached the gospel, you received it. And he said, right now, you're standing in your changed state because of the resurrected Christ. And so he said, exhibit A, you. Amen. Amen. You're proof of the resurrection. Look at verse number 2. He said, by which also you are saved. I preach the gospel. And within that gospel is that Jesus got up out of the grave. There would be no gospel without Jesus getting up out of the grave. And he said, that's what saved you, the death, burial, and resurrection. And then he made this statement, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now some people say, well, now he's saying there, now you got to keep remembering it now or you won't stay saved. That's not what he means at all. He said, now you have to remember now. Remember what I preached unto you. I didn't preach do better. That's not, he didn't say. He said, I didn't preach do better. I preached, and he's going to get to it in verse number 4. He said, in verse number 3, I'm sorry. He said, I preached unto you first of all, verse number four, I'm sorry, I keep saying four, it's three. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. He said, I preached the gospel, and I preached unto you. He said, don't forget now. I didn't bring another gospel. I didn't bring some sideways kind of deal. I didn't bring works. I didn't bring law. I brought the gospel. I brought the death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, and when you believe that, the power of God converted your soul. And you got saved in the grace of God. It's still the same way today. Nothing's changed. Amen? So, exhibit number one, change lives. But I want you to notice this wording, if you would, in verse number three. For I delivered unto you, I like this phrase here, first of all. Paul said, I didn't come in and start telling you that you need to take care of sin in the church. You need to take care of this problem with gifts. You need to take care of this problem with tongues. You need to take care. He said, no, first of all, you need to get saved. Amen. He said, that's where you start. I preached unto you first of all, with the utmost importance. That's what that means. And brethren, the most important message that I as your pastor will ever preach, that you as a preacher will ever preach, that you as a teacher will ever teach, that you as a Christian will ever testify of, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the most important message there is. There's no more important message in all the world. Because it's the gospel of Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. People can't get saved without the gospel. And so he said, when I came to town now, he said, I didn't come to town telling you to clean your life up. I came to town telling you that I'm going to preach one to you that could clean your life up. And his name's Jesus. And he said, I gave you the gospel. And it's through the power of the resurrection. Now, I want to just take a look at a few things here. And we'll, this is exhibit two. You ready? Exhibit two. There's only three. Exhibit two, he said, how that Christ died, verse number three, for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Number one, the power of a changed life. Number two, the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God is the power of the resurrection. It's a testament to the resurrection. Notice what he said here in verse number three. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, history says that Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ resurrected. But that's not the story. Did you notice what Paul did? He didn't say Christ died, and that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose only. Notice what he said here. He said how that Christ died for. You know what the word for is? It's a word for substitution. Now I want you to listen very carefully. Christ died, but he died with a purpose. There was a lot of Jewish men that were crucified on a Roman cross, but none crucified for the sins of the world except Jesus. No one died like Jesus died. No one. Christ died, but that's not where it ends. He died for, which means substitution. Now, how many of you know a little bit about basketball? Raise your hand. Wow. Okay. When you're going to substitute for somebody, you call them over and you say, hey, go in for him. Take his place. Right? The word for in this passage is a substitute. You go in for this person. You take their place. Right? So Christ just didn't die a normal death. He died a substitutionary death. He died in the stead of other people. He died for our sins. Not his sin. He knew no sin. He never sinned. And yet, the only thing that brings forth death is sin. Then why did he die? For your sin. It was our sin. Christ died for our sin. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's why Jesus died, for our sin. You understand that, right? So Christ died for our sin. So it was a substitutionary death. It was like no other. He died for our sins. It was substitute. It was in the place of, and it was for our sins. And he was buried. I'm not going to go into this tonight. There was a purpose. He was there, buried. The songwriter had it this way, and the songwriter of that song that was sang, now that wasn't the original rendition of that song that was sang Sunday night. One day, J. Wilbur Chapman wrote that song. It's a great preacher and of yesteryear. And it says, "Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away." What did the psalmist say? "As far as the east is removed from the west, so far hath he removed our sins from us." I think it is Micah in chapter 7 says that our sins are buried in the depth of God's forgetfulness. And so there is a need and a reason for the burial of Jesus Christ. And then it says that he resurrected. You know, it's interesting to me that when it talks about Jesus being resurrected, and I want you to think about this. Have you ever noticed it says, like, he is risen, not he was risen, right? Now, when it speaks of other people, it never says that. It says he was raised. You know why? It took someone else to raise him. Now, Jesus raised himself by, Romans 1:4, the power of the resurrection. The Spirit of holiness is what was the power of his resurrection. Jesus raised up himself. He said in John chapter 10, he said, "Listen, I have power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again." No one raised Jesus. He raised himself through the Spirit of holiness. Read Romans 1:4. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, which you know these things. You know. And so Jesus is the author of eternal salvation because he, through the power of the resurrection, was accepted. His sacrifice was accepted of God, and that's why he came out of the grave. Amen? He died for our sins. He was buried, and he came up out of the grave, brethren. This is reality, all right? The devil wants you to doubt it. The flesh wants you to doubt it. And if we can begin to not feel strongly about being resurrected from the dead, it will cause you to get a little crooked and get a little sideways in your walk with Christ in this present world. And you'll lose your hope of what the future holds. Don't do that. Stay in the Word. Stay in the truth. Now, that's the second, all right? The first evidence, the power of a changed life. Amen. My life, your life, is a testament of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number two, the power of the Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Psalm 16. I mean, there are a number of Old Testament Scriptures that prophesy the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it says right here, according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. Now, I want to close with this one. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. "And that he was seen." You know, the Bible says in Acts 1:3 that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that he showed forth that by many infallible truths. They're infallible. I want you to notice what the Scripture says here. It says in verse number 5, "And that he was seen." You see that? Look at verse number 6. "After that, he was seen." Look at verse number 7. "After that, he was seen." Look at verse number 8. "And last of all, he was seen." I think the Holy Spirit of God wants you to know that the resurrected Christ was seen. He was seen. I could preach a whole message, and it would. I'm not saying I'm anything because I could do that, because it doesn't take a whole lot. On this right here, he was seen of Cephas. Peter, you talking about grace, brethren. When Jesus was being falsely accused, mocked, humiliated, Peter was denying him. And now that he's resurrected, instead of saying, Peter, I cannot believe you let me down, he said, you go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. And he met with Peter. That's grace. But that's our Lord, isn't it? That's our Lord. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And of course, that is, we know Judas wasn't there. Oftentimes, the 12 was called the 12 when they were not together. It's kind of like the church. I could say, I'm preaching to the church. Well, there's some not here, but you're still the church. And it's the same way with the 12. It's more of a title than it is every individual. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. And he's basically, Paul's saying, listen, if you want to go get testimony from them, I can give you some names, right? He said, I can put you in touch with some people if you're having strong enough doubts. And then he said in verse number 7, after that he was seen of James. Now, we're not 100% sure, but many believe this is the half-brother of Christ who got saved after his resurrection. John chapter 7, verse 5 teaches that. And then it says that then of all the apostles, and this is the last, he said, the last he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. He said, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach also, ye believed. And so, are the dead raised? Yes. Yes. Because as Christ rose, he did not rise. Now, please listen carefully. Do not leave here and say that I did not say, you know I believe Jesus is God, 100% God. But sometimes we lose sight of this, brethren. Jesus was also 100% man. You say, well, I don't understand that. Yeah, I know. I don't either. But he was 100% man. And we are 100% human. And if he rose from the dead 100% human, we too shall rise from the dead as 100% human. You understand that? And so don't get confused now and say, well, you know, he rose from the dead because he was God. No, first of all, he is God, not he was God. And he rose from the dead as a man. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. And wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, but Jesus did not sin. He did not die for his sin. He did no sin. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth. He died for our sins. And that's what Paul is proclaiming here. This is his testimony. And so he's saying that because he died for our sins, we are going to resurrect as he resurrected. Because he buried, he forgave, he cleansed us of our sin. So don't lose hope. Don't let the world that mocks, these folks were mocking Paul. You think it slowed him down? It fired him up. It just fired him up. How about you? Do you think about the afterlife a whole lot? I hope that you do. I hope that you do. I hope you give a lot of thought. What would it be like? Those young ladies, when they line up here and sing that song, what will it be like? I love that. One day, brethren, we're moving out of here now. It's real now. It's real. We too shall resurrect in his likeness. I'm going to ask you to stand. Now, if you were to ask me, Pastor, are you 100% sure that the dead shall rise again? My answer to your question would be, I am 100% sure. I'm 100% sure I'm saved, and I'm 100% sure I'm saved because I believe the gospel. And I'm 100% sure that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And I'm 100% sure that because my salvation is predicated upon His resurrection, that I too shall rise in His likeness. I'm just as sure of that as I'm sure I'm saved. I hope that you are. I do. Give it some thought. Let it soak in your heart. Sing His praises. Praise Him. Praise Him that you have eternal life. All right? Father, thank You for eternal life.